How's everybody doing out there? Here we are. Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road. This episode here, we're going to talk a little bit about new drivers coming into the industry, whether or not they want to do it, what to look for in the school, what to look for in a company, and once you get working, how you're going to do there, what you're going to look for there once you get working. But before we get started there, let's go on with some music. Here's some Pure Green. Sit back and relax. Is the Truckin' Song by Pure Green. I love that band. Love their music. Good stuff. So here we are. We're gonna try to help out some new boys and girls coming into to the industry here. I mean, a couple of things we're gonna talk about here. Number one is you gotta decide: is this for you? Is this something you want to do? You gotta ask some questions. You gotta go out there. You gotta talk to your spouse about it, reevaluate, and see if it's for you. Questions I would ask myself is. You know, are you willing to make that sacrifice? This job definitely does not come without sacrifice. It's there by you, it's your spouse, your kids, some of your family. So what kind of sacrifices are we talking about? Well, for one, you're probably not going to be home for some birthdays. You're going to miss some anniversaries. You're going to miss some holidays. You're going to miss baseball games, football games, plays, things like that. Not all the time, but you're going to miss some stuff. Holidays, I'd like to say that you're not going to miss like the major holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter. Over-the-road guys, owner-operators, they miss that stuff. For the most part, the companies get you home for the major holidays. But like the other ones, they don't care. You're going to be out working and that's that. Your spouse's sacrifice is their social life is pretty much diminished to nothing. You know what happened? I wouldn't say nothing, but everything's put on her or him. your significant other are responsible for the bills. You got to pay the bills. You got to pay the bills. Taking care of the house, getting the kids ready for school, things like that. A homework, getting them to their practices, their after-school events, things like that. It's a lot on the spouse because no matter what you do in this industry, you got to sleep. You can't drive tired. It's pretty much. Get out there, you drive your 10, 11 hours, you come home, you eat, you shower, you sleep, you get up and you do it again. So, there are some things you got to look at that's what you got to look at. Your sleeping pattern gets all screwed up, you're tired all the time, pretty much most of the time until you kind of get used to it a little bit, you get some seniority, you get better runs and you're not out there for as long. The other thing is eating healthy. That's like just about almost impossible out here. You're driving down the road. There's nothing else to do but eat. You always have that lunchbox right by your side. You're always digging in it. I did. I still do. I gained 20 pounds since I've been out here, and my wife's getting on me now, so I gotta start eating. Healthy. Not that I want to, but I have to. They're the things you're looking at, as far as sacrificing things go. Choosing a CDL school. We'll get into that in a minute or two. But right now, let's hit some music here. Let's listen to a little Modern Day Cowboy by Tesla.
We'll be right back.
Tesla there. That's some old stuff. I think they were, back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s? That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Oh, a little noise out there. Always noise around where I live. Trains, loud cars, although it is pretty quiet most of the time. Not bad. But let's get into choosing a CDL school. Here's where it gets a little sketchy here. You got to do your research here. There's some schools out there that are pretty shady. There's some that are really good, and you got your mediocre schools. So, my question is, the things I would ask is, one is, how much is this going to cost me? They could range anywhere from $2,000 to $6,000, even more than that, some of them, I believe. And that's quite a build a foot to pay, you know. If you're going to pay that, I hope you stick it out for quite a while. That's a lot of money to pay. The other thing I'd ask, how long is the school? How long do I have to go? Well, that's kind of up to you too, because you could go full time. You could go 5 days a week, go 2 days a week. You can go once a week. Full-time or part-time. It all depends on how you want to pay, too, and what kind of time you have. I know some schools will take payments up until your completion, and that's a pretty good deal there. That's a good thing. That helps you out a lot. If you can pay it all up front, that's a good thing. The other thing you gotta ask is, what am I gonna be taught? When I went through my school about 7 years ago, maybe eight, 7 years ago, they did not teach me much. My instructor told me straight out, I'm here to get you your CDL and do the bare minimum to get it, for you to get it. So that was not a good school. But, young and dumb, and I continued with it anyway. So a lot of the stuff I know now, I learned out on the road. I met a gentleman where I work now. He taught me just about everything I know out here. And, I don't know a whole bunch. I know enough to get me through, and we learn as we go. So that's why I want to do this podcast. To help each other out, help myself out, help you out, and it's fun. So that's what we're going to do. But get back to this teaching thing, what they're going to teach you. Make sure they teach you the right things, which in my opinion is learn how to read a map. Make sure they teach you how to read a map. They teach you about the ELD logs. They teach you a lot of safety things, following distance, inclement weather, driving, things like that. There's a lot to learn out here, and there's a lot that you need to learn on your own. Make sure they teach you. That's important because at least you have a couple more options on where you want to work, and you're not limited to driving only a manual. You get to these companies, they have both, and they have a lot of drivers, and sometimes you get into work and all they have is a stick shift, so you got to jump in that. So I'd suggest getting that endorsement. That's a big thing. I would do that. They do help you find a job, some of these companies. Finding a job, I wouldn't say it's that. What they do is they bring in recruiters from these companies, and the recruiters talk to you about their company, what they offer, things like that, what their pay is, their medical, their 401ks, their long and short-term disability, how big they are, things like that. You know, you can make a decision, you'll see what it's like. You can make that decision once you get to that point. Once we get to that point, we'll talk about that next. We're at that point now, talking about the new jobs. So let's transition into the next area here with the little tunage. So here's a little bit of White Snake. This song here rocks. You talk too much, never say what's on your mind. It's written on your face. I mean the words you hide behind. I know what you want. I can see what you're looking for. I know what you want from me. I'm gonna give you more. So let's continue on here. We're going to look into choosing a company. Oh, there's a lot to look for here. This stuff here, this will drive you crazy when you look at this stuff. What to look for. So I looked at, when I first come in, I looked at this is what I looked at. I'm going to tell you what I looked at. I looked at, did they give me tuition reimbursement? My company did. The next question I asked was, well, how are you going to pay that out? Are you going to pay that out by the month, by the week, by the quarter? Because that, you know, by the quarter, what if you get to this company, you don't like it, and want to leave? You know, that's not good. But you want to know that, how they're going to pay that tuition reimbursement out. Most companies do pay it out. And some of them won't, they only pay a certain percentage of it out too. You want to ask that too, how much are they going to pay out? The next thing I asked was, well, how old is your equipment? You don't want to get to a company and you're jumping in a tractor that's 15 years old, it smells like ass, and it doesn't run good. It's got safety issues and they don't want to fix it. No thanks. So make sure their equipment is pretty new. I would go no more than 5-6 years old, unless the company really keeps up on the maintenance with them. Go a little bit older, that's not too bad. And I was kind of concerned about how big these companies were. I didn't want to work for somebody that had a lot of drivers, but I ended up somewhere where they do have a lot of drivers, and I'm happy here, so it didn't bother me. Because you get into a lot of drivers at these companies and you're slip seating, you want to ask them too, or do you have slip seating? That's a pain in the ass, I'll tell you right now. But for some companies, it's a pain in the ass. Some companies, they know how to do it, some don't. When you're in and out of trucks with different people in them, you got issues, they leave a mess for you. So I'd ask that. Make sure if they have slip seat drivers or not. That's what we call here slip seating, is sharing a truck with somebody. I did not like that at all, so... That was nothing but a headache. The other thing is, ask them, do they have manuals or sticks? Sometimes they have both. If they have both, you're good. If you have that endorsement, you're good. If you don't have that stick shift endorsement, that manual endorsement, well, you're going to have issues then looking for a truck when you get to work in the morning. If they don't have a manual available, you'll be waiting for a manual to get back to hop in and go. So I'd ask that too. The other thing I'd ask is, how do you pay? What is the pay? Most of these companies, they pay by the mile. If they pay by the mile, the next question I would ask is, well, how do you pay? Do you pay from door to door hub miles, or do you pay from zip code to zip code? Zip code to zip code kind of sucks sometimes. You kind of get burned out of miles a lot of times. Sometimes it benefits you, but a lot of more than not, you get screwed out of miles. I get paid zip code to zip code. I probably lose 40 miles a day. Calculate that by 5 days a week. So, yeah, you're getting ripped off. Zip code to zip code is the center of a city to a center of a city. So if you're delivering from Atlanta, say, up to Cincinnati. So they're going to pay you from the middle of Atlanta to the middle of Cincinnati. So you might pick up on the far side of Atlanta, drive through the middle of the city, and drive all the way up to Cincinnati, and your delivery is on the opposite side of the city. So you're getting burned out of miles in that way. So you want to ask that. Some of these companies too, they also pay percentage of the load, which I like. You're guaranteed. You don't have to worry about calculating your miles, figuring out what you're getting paid and this and that. And that's a pain in the ass. But the getting paid by the load is pretty good. As long as you're getting the good loads. You know, sometimes you're not going to get good loads. But I like that. And ask what the percentage is. Is it always going to be the same percentage for every load? Some loads are different. They might pay a different percentage per load. So ask them that. That's a good thing right there. You want to ask detention time. sometimes you get to these shippers or receivers and you got a live load, man, sometimes you're sitting there 3-4 hours. You want to know if you're getting paid for your time. See, we ask them what you're getting paid for your time, for your detention time, sitting there waiting. I know where I work, we get paid for our detention time from the second we hit arrive to the second we hit loaded. It's not great, but we do get paid for our time sitting there. So that's not too bad. Ask about breakdown. How do you get paid for breaking down? Do you get paid for your time sitting on the side of the road waiting for road service to come and fix you? Some companies, they'll pay you from the time you break down to the time you're fixed. Some companies, you'll have to give them 2 hours, hour and a half. What I mean is you're going to sit there for an hour and a half before you start getting paid. So that's a big thing. So ask that. Make sure you know what you're getting into with that. Fuel bonuses, safety bonuses. Ask them if you get a fuel bonus or a safety bonus. And if you do, how's it getting paid? Is it getting paid by the week, by the month, by the quarter? Not too much fuel bonuses anymore with these companies. These automatics, they save the company a lot of fuel. And these trucks pretty much run the same. So there's really no fuel bonuses anymore with these companies. Possibly, maybe not. And you can also ask attendance bonus. Some of these companies will give you that, but I don't think they do. I wish I got an attendance bonus. I built my company has 7 years. I think I called out for 2 or 3 times. That was about it. Vacation. See about vacation. How is your vacation? How's that getting distributed to you? Do you have to accrue time? Do you get time after you're there a certain period of time? Things like that. And if you accrue time, how much of time do you accrue a week? And I know some companies, they'll go by how long you're there is how much time you're going to accrue by the week. Or how long you work, how many hours or miles you put in for that week. That's how they give you your time if you accrue. And what's their policy as far as taking PTO, pay time off? How much time in advance do you have to give them? That's a big thing, I think, because some companies, they're sticklers with that. And sometimes you just got to, you need time, you need a break, and you want to take time off, and they give you a hard time about taking time off. So that's that one for that. Now, home time, ask them how much time am I going to be home if you're over the road. How long are you going to be out? You're going to be out a week, you're going to be out 2 weeks, 3 weeks. When I get home, what am I doing with my reset? Am I taking my 34 and you want me on the road after my 34, as soon as my 34-hour reset is up? Ask them. You want to know that stuff. And ask around about these companies. I mean, you pick a company out. Yeah, they make everything sound good. Go to these truck stops, ask around, see what these companies are like, find somebody getting fuel. Hey, how's this company to work for? Are they pretty legit? They good? They take care of you? They look out for you? Ask questions. Don't just jump into a company and expect the world. Speaking of expecting the world, you get to these companies and you start out there driving. Remember, you're a low man on the totem pole. You get these loads, just take it and go. Take your load and go. Don't bitch and complain about your miles. Take it. I did it for over 2 years. I'm not going to say that long, but I first started where I'm at now. I took my paperwork. I walked out the door, and I planned where I was going. Didn't even really look at the miles too much. Get your feet wet. Don't ask for 500 miles a day, especially as a new driver, not just coming into the industry, not knowing too much. Because 500 miles a day for a new driver, that's tough to do. I did it a couple times. I had a hard time getting back. There was a couple times I ran out of time. You know, I had to call for that 2 hour extension on my 14. And a lot of companies, they don't like to do that and they won't do it. I had to go through hoops to get that pulled out for me to get home. I was in a day cab at the time. I didn't have a sleeper. And I struggled getting back a couple times just starting out. Going over that George Washington Bridge every day, God only knows what's going to happen on that thing. So just remember, you're new. You got guys at some of these accounts, they've been there 10, 15, 20 years. You know, don't go in there demanding. You know, give it a little bit. Just take what they give you for 3-4 months. And, you know, after that, start asking for a little more miles. Another 2-3 months, start asking for a little more. You know, don't be a complainer. Companies don't like that. You know, you're at a company and you like it there, you like the runs you're doing, stay there. Don't be a job hopper. You be a job hopper after a year or so, you know, the companies are going to look at you, man, this guy's been through 3 companies in a year. They don't want that. They do not want to see that. Yeah, drivers are hard to come by, but at the same time, they're not going to just hire anybody. Some of these companies will just hire anybody, but the ones that do that, you're not going to make any money there. That's for sure. You get out of this industry, out of this job, what you put into it. I get guys coming to me now and telling me, oh, they're not making no money. They're not making no money. Well, where are you going? Where are you driving to? Oh, I'm going to Jersey and back, they'll say. Well, why are you doing that? Well, that's what I want. That's what I like. Well, Jersey and back to where our terminal is only like 280 miles, sometimes 350 at the most. You're not making no money doing that, you know? So don't complain about money unless you know where you're going, what you're doing. You want to make the money, you got to work for it. You got to run the miles. You got to run hard. I'll tell you right now, do not drive tired. That's the worst thing you could do. That's just bad things going to happen when you do that. You fall asleep out there, you put that thing in the ditch. You know, one, you could be dead. Two, you're going to be out of a job. Companies aren't going to want to put up with that. You know, don't drive tired. Don't do that. Ask questions when you get to these companies. Get to this first job you're working for. Ask the older guys. Most of them will help you. And they'll look out for you, too, some of them. You know, they won't throw you under the bus as far as letting you drive a piece of junk that's unsafe. You know, if you're not sure of something, the way your truck is supposed to be running, or you're not sure of the brakes, how they're looking, ask somebody. Don't be afraid to ask. I had a guy today call me. He was out on Long Island. He got pissed off because he got out there, he delivered his load, hooked up to his empty, and he started to drive, and he noticed his tractor had a flat. So he calls his comp, calls the dispatcher. He says, I got a flat. Dispatcher tells him to take it somewhere or call road service to get it fixed. So this guy did not want to wait. So what did he do? He said, to hell with it. I'm going back to my terminal. No trailer, no load. He had a backhaul he was supposed to pick up. Told him he's not picking it up. He drove the tractor back to his terminal, about 150 some odd miles, with a flat. That is not safe. That is, you're asking for trouble there. You could get a tire fire. You know, you could be driving down that road, down the road, that thing could be starting to shed apart, throwing pieces of rubber all over the place, hitting cars, causing an accident. You know, think out there. Don't be stupid. Just think. Do your job. Do it right. Do it efficiently. Do it safe. 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 These things do not stop. You know, just don't be a goofball out there. Don't be a know-it-all, because you don't know it all. I don't know it all. Nobody knows it all. A lot of stuff goes on out there that you really don't understand until it happens to you. Don't be one of them guys. Don't be that guy, you know. And to top it off with this guy that took that tractor, he thinks he's getting paid for them miles going back to the terminal, which I don't think he will. He might, but I don't think he will. But if he took the tractor, or they told him to take it to get the tire fixed, he would have been in and out of there in 45 minutes to an hour. Could have went down and got his backhaul, got back to pits, and he got paid for 520 some miles for the day. Instead, he only got paid for about 150, say 320 miles maybe. That's what he got paid for the day. You know, that's just idiotic, if you ask me. I don't agree with that. That's just craziness. You got to be safe out here, guys. That's the most important thing. Yeah, you want to provide for your family, do the right thing, make that money, but can't be chasing that dollar like that. That's not a good thing. So that's where we're at with that. These dispatchers, don't be, how do I want to say this? Don't be a smart ass to the dispatchers. They go through a lot in that office. You don't know half of the stuff that goes in there in that office. I don't. I know most of it, but not all of it. I don't want to. I thought about taking that job a couple years ago, two or three years ago, and they're telling me, you know, I sat in there a couple times just watching what was going on. No thanks. They're constantly getting yelled at and bitched at by drivers, and I'm sitting here, Dula, get me out of here, and, you know, my pay is wrong, and they're just, somebody calls off, now they got to make up that load, they got to get somebody to take that load, or somebody gets in a little bender, that load that tractor's hooked up to isn't getting delivered now they got to get somebody out there to pick up that load off the side of the road and get it delivered. You know, no. Be nice to your dispatchers. They do the best they can. Most of them. You got your shady ones. But most of them, for the most part, they try to do the best they can to work with you. And that's not an easy job. I don't think I'd want to do it. I thought about it and I said, that's not for me. So we're going to call this one here. I hope I helped you out. Any insight you have, you could always email me at steertire14@gmail.com. That's steertire14 @gmail.com. Hope to hear from some of you. And the next episode, I'm going to try to get one of my dispatchers in on the show. And we'll have a little discussion on exactly what goes on in that office, and we'll go from there. If not, I got another plan. So I hope you enjoyed the show. Let's end this with a little tunage again. Who are we gonna listen to? Let's see what we got here. How about a little bit of Yes? End this session here. Hope you enjoyed.
To me, it can happen to everyone.